right, it's time to talk with our featured guest, Dr. Damian Cooper. Damian, how's it going, man?
I'm pretty good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Like, right before this episode, I told you, like, the weather over here is 90, and you're feeling, like, rainy, cozy weather, so a little jealous.
Yeah, it's pretty cozy right now, which, you know, I kind of don't like it because now we're transitioning from summer, you know, fall, and then now it's going to be winter, and, like, before you know it, like, a couple months. And I'm a little bit terrified about that, but I'll take fall. I like fall.
Yeah.
This is kind of my therapeutic index, you know, 75, you know, as low as 65. When it gets to 55, I'm like, I need a vacation.
You're like, oh, I don't know about this.
I need to go home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamaica, that's my front. So that's, you know, I think about home. I look at my pictures from back home, like, yeah, I should be here right now.
Where are you from?
But, yeah,
where's home for you?
Jamaica, Caribbean.
Oh, man, Jamaica. Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's completely different than Maryland.
Yeah, it's different than Maryland, but, you know, there's a lot of Jamaicans here, so I'm comfortable in Maryland. You know, it has a lot of my folks here, a lot of Caribbean folks, so very diverse area, and I really appreciate it for that. So, yeah, it's nice. I like it.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. So, Damian, for everybody listening, is the owner / founder / he's did the startup for Rosewood Dental. So then, Damian, tell us a little bit about, first of all, if you can give us a quick, like, I guess, minute or 2 minutes of, like, how you got to where you are today.
Oh, man, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to sum it all up. But more detail. So I out of dental school, I graduated dental school 6 years ago. God, yeah, man, it's been a long time. Jeez. So 6 years ago, all right, so I started as an associate. I was working in corporate. I was working for the evil DSO. I actually liked my DSO, you know, to be honest. So can't really complain. I learned a lot. You know, I was very busy. You know, did a lot of CE and just got my feet wet in a lot of procedures. And I took the time to learn the business as well, you know. There's nobody in my family who's a dentist, so me learning the business was just, you know, just reaching out to mentors and just, you know, a lot of podcasts. And that's how I learned a lot about dentistry. And I always knew I wanted to own my own practice. But, you know, I needed to learn dentistry first. So dentistry would be on autopilot, you know. So it took me about 5 years before the startup process actually, you know, took traction. I searched for space. It took me a while to find a space. It took me a good while. A lot of heartbreaks. Yeah.
So how did you start searching for? How did you start searching for space?
How? Okay, so, you know, first, you know, you got to go to Dr. Google, you know, just try to see where. I just wanted to see where, you know, reasonably there wasn't a ton of dentists, and my area is pretty saturated. You know, in Maryland, the DMV we call it, DC, Maryland, Virginia, is pretty saturated. My job out of school was in Maryland, so I'm pretty comfortable in Maryland. I love the folks here, and it's great. The studies show that Maryland has the highest income per capita, so it's a great state, great state. Mm-hmm. So the exact area that I know I wanted to end up working in or actually opening or starting a practice in Maryland, Montgomery County, did a lot of searches. On weekends, I just, you know, drive around just to look at areas, you know, just try to get a feel, get a sense of the area.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to study the demographics and looking on Google, just looking at other offices, looking at their reviews, looking at what they're doing for marketing and just, you know, just trying to see what services they offer. And, but, you know, then I got a little bit more professional. I got a demographics study. Just get a full breakdown and assessment of the different areas that I had in mind, the different, you know, 2 to 4 mile radius areas, you know, certain spots that I really was interested in. And but, you know, it turns out that everywhere is saturated, you know, there's
yeah.
So it just came down to a decision that, hey, you know what, I'm just going to have to distinguish myself and mm-hmm. just have to brand myself. And if I present myself well enough, the patients will come. And I just went with that. And I was like, hey, I just took a nosedive and just, you know, opened up in a fairly saturated area. Not as saturated as another area that I was looking at, mm-hmm. with much higher, you know, rent, which would have been a much higher startup cost. But still, nonetheless, still pretty expensive here. And I just went with it. So okay. So I started looking for a space, about 2 years from today. First, I've been open for just under 6 months so far.
Wow.
So about 2 years ago, I started really looking for a space. And I knew I always wanted to do a startup, but I was still entertaining the idea of acquiring a practice. So I looked at a couple offices. And, you know, it's kind of like when you try to do something, you don't put a lot of effort because you know you're not interested. So I still did it anyway. So
yeah.
I looked at a couple offices. They're just what, you know, they were steals really, but they just didn't fit. You know, I just have to do a whole lot to change the whole culture of that office and just to bring it to where I wanted. So I was like, hey, look, you know what? Startup it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went with it. So 2 years ago, I was looking for spaces, and some spaces fell through. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, some landlords, you know, dealing with some landlords, you know, some of them just are, you know, non-responsive, and
yeah,
you know, it's just a headache, it's just a nightmare. You know, you just kind of learn, and that's where I started learning the business dentistry. When I started looking for spaces, I learned everything from, you know, the financial aspect, you know, the construction aspect, the zoning aspect, just everything that, you know, listening to podcasts, reading, you know, a lot of, information online and so on, and just being a part of the different Facebook groups.
Yeah.
You know, I must say, and I really feel terrible that I've just been snooping on a lot of pages and not being very active on some groups. But, I got a lot of good information, but almost too much information. So after a while, I kind of tuned things out and just kind of, you know, went with my gut and just what I really felt like doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, after a while, I just kind of got off all the Facebook groups and so on, just kind of did my thing.
Yeah,
just try to figure it out myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's. But I found a great space. I found a wonderful space. It's in a great area. It's on a plaza. It has good foot traffic, so the visibility is nice. I appreciate that. And it's in a great, great, great neighborhood. So, you know, I'm happy with the space.
Okay.
Even though I did have sleepless nights about some other spaces that I really wanted, and, you know, it's just that nowhere is going to be perfect. But it just turns out that now, 6 months in, I like it. I really do.
Got you. Okay. Really quick, if we can rewind, where did you get your grandma? Like, where did you do your demographic study?
Dentographics.
Gotcha.
Shout out to Kent. They did a really good breakdown for me. Kent Miller, I think that's his name. They did a great breakdown, and got a lot of info.
Okay.
And I knew how many people lived in my 2 mile, 3 mile, 4 mile radius. I know how many dentists were there. I knew the income. I know, you know.
Yeah.
But all that information, it's good to know, but I didn't dwell on it. It was good to affirm my decision because I chose a location even before I got the study, but I just kind of wanted to know a little bit more about what was going on, a little bit more, you know,
yeah.
just get a little bit more tactical. Yeah,
gotcha.
So it's good to know. Well, it just turned out that everywhere was saturated. It just turned out that way. You know, everywhere that I liked was saturated. And that's actually a good thing, because that means that there's demand. You just have to differentiate yourself.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, man.
You know? Yeah, so it's actually a good thing that some places are, you know, there's a point, you know, there's a point where, hey, this may be too saturated.
Where do you think that point is? Like, where did you draw the line where it was like too saturated?
If I can remember, in my 1 mile radius, it's one dentist per 800 and something people. You know, everybody that I listen to, you shouldn't do a startup if it's not 1 to 1,500 or 2,000. But in like a, I think in like a 3 mile radius, it may have been 1 to 1,500 or whatever. In the 1 mile, radius, it was like 1 to 800 and something, which is not what it's recommended for startup. But you know, it's I kind of went off the associateship job that I worked in, right? And it was a startup when I started that office. When I started working there, the office was open for probably 6 to 8 months or something. And I started in that office, and I just saw the amount of marketing that was done, and I just saw a ton of patients coming in. So, and there was a ton of dentists around that area, too. So I'm like, hey, you know, if it's high demand, hey, if it's saturated, it still works.
It's worth it, yeah. That's good. You know? And then, so you had sleepless nights, you said. Why did you not get the spaces that you wanted? Because you said you had some spaces that you wanted.
Because the space that was the most ideal, according to the demographic study that I did, I found a building. It was a bank there was a bank there. It was a standalone building. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was on the roadside, right? I was like, oh my goodness, I could see myself in this space. Like, good Lord. You know, standalone building, ton of parking. You know, it even had this cool drive-up teller thing, which I was thinking, what could I do with that? I could probably do something really cool with that drive-up thing. You know, maybe it would be like put a roof over it and be like my parking garage or whatever, employee of the month. I don't know. You could probably do something really cool with that. And then, it was like a lot of glass, like, you know, you can see outside. A lot of glass, and that was really cool, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can see outside. And here, you don't really get that, you know. It's a lot of buildings, so most of the offices are inside buildings or on strip malls where you don't really get that glass looking outside, you know what I mean? So I was like, hey, this would be really cool. But yeah, the landlord didn't return any of my phone calls. You know, the realtor I was working with, you know, contacted the landlord like, oh my God, like dozens of times, and no response. You know, they're pretty big developers in DC, right? So they had a ton of buildings all over the city. So, you know, I probably thought just I was like a pimple on a horse's butt, you know, just trying to get this one space when they're probably worried about billion-dollar deals all around the city. So I'm like, all right, shoot. But here's a crazy story too. Like, I used to live in the city, like downtown in DC, right? Mm-hmm. Crazy enough, their head office was literally like 2 blocks from where I lived. Right. Mm-hmm. So guess what I did? I walked 2 blocks over to their office. You know, I went upstairs to try to meet the guy, and you know, he didn't see me. I was like, shoot. Like, all right. Like, that was a sign. Like, hey, this is just not meant to be. So, all right, I just moved on. You know, you just get a sign like, hey, this is just not for you, and I just moved on. But you know, it turns out that it's probably a good thing, because I don't think the demographic there, even though on paper, you know, looking at the dentist to population ratio was the best, I don't think the demographics for me was the best as far as the income level, as far as, you know, the psychographic of that area. It just wasn't the best for me. So it just turns out that, you know, it worked out for the best, I think.
Got you. Okay, so then fast forward. You got this practice. How much was? Did you acquire it, or was it a build out?
Yeah, it was a build out, startup from scratch. Okay. There was a So now I'm in a mall. It's on a plaza.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2,000 square foot space. It's a build out. It's pretty expensive here, though. It's like $150 a square foot here. So build out was about $300,000. So yeah, you know, just charge it to the game.
How many ops does it do you have? Like, did you plumb out all the ops or?
Five, yeah. So five ops. Only two are equipped, but I'm getting ready to equip the third op. I have a consultation room, which I wish it was a little bit bigger. But I have a nice waiting room. Some nice, you know, nice. I like the operators. You know, they're pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 Awesome. And then right now.
I like the space. It's very ergonomic. I can get patients in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get patients in and treat them well and get them out and make them feel comfortable. It's a nice ergonomic space. Yeah, I can have fun. You know, while I'm working. You know, with my staff. Yeah.
That's good, man. And then you have fee for service? Are you taking PPO, all kinds of insurance, or how do you work that?
I take everybody. I see everybody. So, you know, insurance, no insurance, Medicaid. I'm not in network with Medicaid or HMOs. I'm only in network with PPO insurance. But, you know, fee for service is awesome. But it's majority PPO.
Gotcha.
I would say majority PPO. I'd say about 55% PPO. I'd have to like really break down and give me an accurate, report of the different, the payer types.
Yeah.
The payer types. But from the top of my head, I could say PPO 55%. Fee for service about 45%, and I bundle fee for service as all the people who don't have PPO who I'm not in network with, so they'll pay out of pocket to see me,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. And these people, they may have Medicaid, they may have some state plan, or whatever. I'm not with network, but I have a membership going, so you know, and they like me enough, they like me enough to come in, and they like my staff enough to come in and the facility enough to come in and want to be a patient and pay out of pocket.
So even like the Medicaid and the people who, so for example, like let's just say you have Medicaid patients, they'll still pay out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do you present your like membership plan? What does that consist of?
Yeah, so membership plan is pretty simple. You know, I'm not the most expensive. Not now. You know, I'm bootstrapping now. So my fees aren't the highest. You know, when I had my fee set, you know, pretty much the fee for my area. I mean, I wouldn't say it's high, but you know, I talk to other dentists, and that's what they charge. You know. Their fees are like $1,600 for a crown. I mean, it's awesome. If somebody pays me that for a crown, it's awesome. You know,
yeah.
Again, you know, PPO is paying me $750-$800 for a crown. Okay, if the patient has $750-$800, I'm doing a crown.
Why yeah.
Not? Right. So, you know, volume is important to me. Volume, you know, there is a saying that there is quality and quantity. There is that thing. I've heard that before. And, I can efficiently do crowns, so which makes it profitable, you know, at a certain fee.
Okay, awesome.
And membership, you know, patients pay me a small amount per month. And, you know, they get their preventative services rendered.
Yeah.
And, And based on the procedure, we just work out a deal. We just work something out for as far as what they need. And I'm straight up with them. You know, I think why some patients gravitate towards me, I'm straight up. I'll tell them, hey, Medicaid sucks. You know, they'll call the office and they want to, hey, do you take Medicaid? I'm like, absolutely. We definitely take patients with Medicaid. Here's how it works. You know, we're not in network, but come on, you know, I'm pretty sure you like our services. And I'll tell them, hey, listen, Medicaid sucks. You like the office that you currently go to? You know, And most of the time they'll say no, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, when they come, you know, they're blown away. They're like, oh, my God, I can get this type of service. You know, they're like, okay, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's, but again, I've only been open for like little over 5 months. I haven't seen my 6 months recares yet. I've seen a few 3 months perio maintenance patients, and I get about a little bit over 30 patients a month. So my active patient base is about, I think, 160. It's not a ton, you know, but 30 patients a month, you know, it's fine. I have a part-time dental assistant. Mm-hmm. I have a full-time office manager, you know, so I have 1.5 staff.
Gotcha.
So I'm not fully loaded. I don't have a hygienist. You know, I'm seeing, you know, 30 patients a month. I mean, I don't know. I'm comfortable. I'm okay.
Yeah.
So I'm scaling little by little, you know.
How did you hire your staff? How'd you find them and how'd you hire them?
Indeed.com. I got a ton of applicants I put an ad out for receptionist.
Yeah.
I got like 1,000 applications.
Oh, man.
I think I promised a lot of things, which, you know, I honor those things. You know,
yeah.
I promise, you know, health insurance. I promise, you know, 401k. I mean, I have a 401k. It's just nobody really signed up for it yet. None of my team signed up for it yet. And so I think the mistake that I made initially, and this is my fault, I hired a full-time dental assistant. And things weren't busy. And I didn't have a full schedule every day. So there's really nothing for a full-time dental assistant to do. And yeah. I'd recommend, you know, depending on the volume of patients coming in, I'd recommend probably not hiring a full-time dental assistant. You know, a lot of stuff, the doctor, you can do yourself, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
And you can get a part-time dental assistant, or if you just want the luxury of sitting in your office and, you know, and not taking any x-rays at all, then sure. But that comes with a cost. I'd have to be mindful because my area, it's, you know, employee expenses are very high. You know what I mean? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the employee expenses are very high. You know, it's an assistant, you know, you got to pay him $20 an hour, you know, or more than that, you know, for a decent assistant, you know.
Mm.
So you have to be mindful of that. So,
yeah. That makes sense.
Now, I definitely need a full-time assistant. I have a part-time dental assistant. I'm looking for a full-time dental assistant now. But I've met a few assistants that, you know, they'll come and work with me part-time for a day or two and so on. So, you know. Yeah. But I'd prefer having two dental assistants full time now.
You know? Oh, wow. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then right now, how's business going? Like, what would you say, like a range of your productions or collections? Like, is it going great? Is it like, do you see a pattern? How's it going? Hey guys, just want to take a quick second to bring up a problem that not enough dentists are aware of. This is something that every practice needs to look into, but it doesn't get the attention it should. In fact, this could be the single biggest barrier to getting new patients through your door. I'm talking, of course, about the appointment scheduling process. Now, most patients say convenience is the number one factor in scheduling a dentist appointment. And we all know that most people, especially young people, expect to be able to do this online. They can book flights online, they can go shopping online, they can even get degrees online. So why can't they get a dentist appointment online? Now you're probably saying, they can, I have online scheduling. But do you? I mean, lots of dentists think they offer online scheduling to their patients, but unfortunately most of those dentists are wrong. They don't have online appointment scheduling. They have online appointment requests. And that's not playing with semantics. There's a huge, huge difference, guys. Most services that say they provide online scheduling are really just a glorified email to your front desk. Once you have that email request, you still have to reach out to the patient as many times as it takes for them to pick up a call and do the age-old stuff all over again. Like, will Friday at 3 work? Okay, how about next Tuesday at noon? Okay, what about Wednesday at blah, 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 blah. And you know how it goes, right? This goes on and on until the patient says, okay, let me check with my husband or wife about the next week and I'll call back. And then nothing really happened. Maybe they'll really call back. Maybe it'll all work out. Maybe the office will come out with a movie and surprise us all. Who knows? Don't leave it up to chance. There's a better way to do an online scheduling, and it's called LocalMed. LocalMed is dentistry's first and only real online scheduling platform. Because their technology integrates directly with your practice management software, that means patients can see available appointments in real time and book them directly into your schedule, just like your front desk does. This means no phone tag, no double booking, and no losing new patients to the other dentist right down the road from you. Patients see the time that they want, they click it, and they get it. Done. Boom, that's it. And then best of all, you stay in control. Patients can only book during times that you mark as available. They can't get an appointment if you don't want them to have one. They can even fill out insurance forms as they schedule, streamlining the process for everyone. Hundreds of dentists in our community have already tried it and love it, especially because the average LocalMed client gets a 33-to-1 return on their investment. That's not too good to be true. That's the way online scheduling should be. In fact, nothing else is really online scheduling. So try it for yourself today by visiting www.localmed.com, tell them I sent you, or tell them you heard them from the Dental Marketer podcast, and get 10% off your setup fee. So go in the show notes below. You can either click on the LocalMed logo or go to localmed.com. Let them know that I sent you, schedule a free demo, and get 10% off your setup fee.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty steady. Like, again, it's not super busy because I don't have a ton of patients. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not the office, you know, where, I hear some really outlandish numbers, which is amazing, you know, some offices are doing $100,000 in collection their second month. I'm like, amazing. I wish I could do that. I mean, I was doing that in my associateship job, like, pretty easily. Yeah. You know, I was like seriously doing like $100,000 a month in my associate job. So hopefully my office scales to that point fairly soon. But I mean, my numbers aren't super high. I'd say they're modest. Probably I'm doing about $40,000 a month now. It's not, you know, a ton, but I'd say, you know, based on the traction I'm getting, I'd say it's pretty decent. I like it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, good. I'm paying my bills, you know, which is important.
Yeah, that's like the most important right now. And then how many days are you open? Are they like normal hours, the days that you're open?
I work every day. It's my scheduled hours are Monday to Saturday. I don't open every Saturday. I open like 2 Saturdays a month.
Okay.
Right? You know, I open 2 Saturdays a month.
And Sunday too?
And No, not Sunday. That's my favorite day of the week, man. That's when I go to the gym. That's when I meditate. That's when I, you know, that's when I chill, man.
Yeah,
you but need to... I do go in the office sometimes. Yeah, I go in the office sometimes. I like to work. I mean, I am not one of those people that hate dentistry. Like, oh my god,
yeah,
you know, like why did I do this? No, I love dentistry. I love it, man. So, but I'll just, you know, I work out. You know, I live. I just moved out of DC, so I moved to be closer to my office. So I live less than 20 minutes from my office. The gym I go to is 10 minutes from my house, which is in between my house and the gym. So 10 minutes to get to the gym. And if I need to check some supplies or something or check up on some stuff, I just drive to the office 10 minutes, spend an hour, and like, boom, come right back home or something. Or you know,
yeah, it's easy. You know? Super easy, yeah.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy. Yeah, it's easy. It's not a big deal. You know, and like there was like a Saturday where I wasn't working, right? I was at home sipping coffee, just chilling. Patient texted me like, hey, can I get my crown now? And I'm like, I'm just chilling, drinking coffee. I'm like, sure, why not? Just meet me at the office in an hour, sure. You know, just went in, did a crown, boom, come right back home. It's okay. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah, no. And I know some people like kind of, like, do you ever fear, or not fear, have you ever experienced this already where, like, maybe you're in the grocery store or something and then you're like, oh, snap, there goes a patient of mine, and they recognize you?
Yeah.
Do you feel like...
I don't live... Yeah, so 20 minutes from the office, you know, it's a different submarket that I live in now. Like, I live in Rockville, Maryland now. My office is in Germantown, Maryland. And So I, you know, maybe if I go into the CVS in Germantown when I'm like leaving work and going home, stopping to get some cashews, it's my favorite snack. So if I stop and get some cashews at the CVS in Germantown, I'll probably run into a patient or something, or the Giant. But, you know, there's a grocery store on my plaza. So, you know, I'll go into the grocery store for whatever, to get a banana or something, and I run into a patient like, hey, what's up, you know? It's fine. But all my patients are my friends. You know, I love, you know, they're all my friends. It's all good.
That's good.
I go in, they come in the office, we talk, we chat. I mean, they're all my friends.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that point of view.
Yeah, they, a lot of them follow me on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. They're all my friends, you know?
Okay. So, and then you said you're getting like around 30 new patients a month. What are you doing for marketing and advertising right now?
Marketing, advertising. So mailers work. Mailers, that's probably, mailers work. Facebook is really interesting to me now. I'm going to make a big push on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Honestly, I need to get on Snapchat. You know, it's just that I don't see a lot of adolescents. You know, but I want to do more ortho, so I think I'm going to get, you know, more on Snapchat. But you know, Facebook is great. You know, because you know what, the biggest market on Facebook. You know, I did a few Facebook ads, and I looked at the insights. And would you guess the demographic of people who clicked on my ad? More like, can you guess the age?
Was it like maybe 40?
No, 65 and above.
65 and above? What?
65 and above.
Wow.
I mean, Facebook is really interesting to me now, but maybe it's just that one ad, you know. I mean, I'm gonna run some more ads and see, you know. But Facebook is interesting to me now. So I did my first ground marketing event.
Nice.
A week ago, like last Saturday, there was an Oktoberfest event in Germantown. So we had a tent. My wife helped me out. She helped me set up. My staff was there. We just to meet some people, greet some people. Just had some print branding stuff there, and it was amazing. It was a great turnout, a lot of people, you know, just to build some awareness, you know. It was great. Like, that was the first ground marketing event that we really did.
That's good.
But it's been mostly mailers, and you know, I'd say mostly that, a little bit of Facebook. But what I've been really blessed with, which honestly I'm so humbled by it, and at first, I thought it was really weird, but now I'm starting to see that it's actually, you know, it's actually not that weird. So, where my office is now, it's about 20 miles from where my associateship job was, right? So, a lot of patients have followed me, right? So, and per my contract, I couldn't, you know, solicit or tell them where I'm going or whatever. But, you know, some patients, when I was leaving the last few months, I'm like, hey, you know what? You're not going to see me again when you come back for your 6-month appointment. And, but, you know, you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, wink, wink, and you can see what I'm doing. But I can't tell them where I'm going, you know what I mean? So some have followed me, which I'm really blown away by, you know, and some actually, they had no idea. They went in for an appointment. And they were like, oh, Dr. Cooper's not there anymore. I'm like, oh, my God. And then they actually Googled and found me and drove, like, over an hour to come see me. I'm like, whoa. So humbled by that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a couple patients. Actually, two days ago, there was a patient. Wonderful lady, right? She went to the office that I used to work in. And she saw I wasn't there anymore. And that lady found me on Google, which, you know, my website marketing people, my website SEO people, they probably doing a good job, because she found me online pretty easily. So she drove an hour and a half to come see me 2 days ago. I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
That's so good.
I'm so humbled by that. I'm like, oh my God.
So
we were just there in the office, just chilling and talking, man. It was amazing. crazy.
What do you feel like separates you then? Like, because you were saying like it's all about branding, right? So like, what do you feel like makes these patients come like drive half an hour away, right, just to go see you? Like, what separates your practice from the rest of the practices, pretty much, in your eyes?
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, here's and there are a lot of amazing dentists here, man. It's in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Oh my goodness, you can throw a stone, you find an awesome dentist. A lot of great dentists here, but there's a lot of demand here too. So I just built a relationship with them, which, you know, it's not just about, you know, just dentistry. First of all, you got to be good, you know, because patients here, they're very picky. They have a high demand. You know, you got to, you know, it's not just plopping in a filling. Like, you got to, like, or not just putting on a veneer and a front tooth, like anything. Yeah. It's got to look good. It's got to, you got to treat them well. They got to be comfortable. You got to be quick. You can't just, like, be in their mouth all day. They're very picky.
Yeah.
Not just like, you know, you just, you know, just do some stuff and then, hey, it's fine. Like, they have high expectations here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
yeah.
You know, some patients want to be sedated for a filling, man. It's crazy, right? So it's, they have high expectations. So number one, I think you have to be a very good dentist in my area. Like, you have to, like, clinically be, like, really good. So,
okay.
I mean, I spent 5 years to be pretty decent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it's like just building a rapport, you know, just like, oh my God, like just being able to have a conversation with them and just, you know, talk about everything that's not dental, you know, when you first meet them, talk about your kids, talk about everything, man. Just being a, you know, just being a people person. And they like that. They love that so much. You know, I text my patients, man. I talk to them, like, you know, we're friends on Facebook, some of them, and it's they like that. They like that connection, you know? So, and, you know, I learned that people don't, you know, they don't buy from the best. They buy from who they know and who they trust.
Ah,
you know?
I like that.
You know,
right.
So, I mean, I don't know, I built a decent rapport, man, with a lot of people, so it's of course not every patient really is fond of me, but you know, I have a fair amount that appreciate, you know, the rapport we built, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until I opened this office. I really did, because I've had some patients, they came into the office and they're telling me that, hey, you know, I went to your last office, Dr. Cooper, and nobody would tell me where you were because they can't tell them where I am or whatever. You know, but you know what? I demanded for them to tell me where you are, so they would tell me, so I looked you up online. But I see Adam and they weren't fierce about, you know, trying to find them. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. My goodness gracious. I didn't even expect that. I thought it was bizarre at first, but, you know, I'm realizing, hey, man, I work hard, man. I really try and put a lot of effort and energy into building a rapport with patients.
Yeah.
And that's, like, very, very important. It's so crucial.
So it's really good to, like, to do that when you're an associate. Like, build really strong. If you're an associate and you plan to do your own startup soon, it's super important to build, like, a rapport with your patients.
Absolutely.
I like that,
absolutely,
man.
Even if your startup, you know, for anybody listening, you know, even if your startup is not going to be in the same state, if it's going to be in another state, your report, it travels with you, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you can be an associate in Montana and decide that you want to open up a startup in Florida. Like, you know, be nice to your patients, man. You know, building that rapport, it follows you, you know?
Yeah, because they can find you on social media.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. You know?
I like that.
Yeah. So, okay.
So,
I've learned a lot.
Yeah. Right now, you said your best ROI has been mailers. Like, what do you put on the mailers? And roughly how many new patients are you getting just from mailers?
Mailers, I'd say about 55% have been mailers. Like, this is, again, I need to, you know, I feel like that's what it is. I have to get the exact statistic, which, you know, if I was was in my office. I could probably pull it up real quick. Mm-hmm. But so mailers has been big. Word of, I'd say mailers are about, well, I'd say about 50%. Word of mouth referrals, and the patients who followed me are probably 35%. But I'm hoping after 6 months to a year, that switches, you know, to where word of mouth referrals are, you know, 55% or more, and mailers gets toned down to about 30%. But right now, mailers, mailers are expensive, but it works. You know, like, I saw a guy, like, last week. He came in, he needed some work. He paid for, like, about 3 months of my mailing campaign, you know, for what we planned and, like, collected, you know, for the treatment. Nice. You know, and so it takes time. You know, you have to be patient with mailers.
What do you put on your mailers, though? And
I put my new patient offer, which is, it's $99 a month.
Okay.
And I just put that there. You know, there's an engaging photo. My picture on air. It's not a whole lot, you know, that okay. I put on there.
That's good. It's like,
I just put my new patient offer. Yeah.
It's to the
and
point.
It's to the point. And yeah, so what did I say? I think about 50% mailers right now, about 35% word of mouth. Was that so? And I think about 15-20%, about the other 20% or 15-20%, it's probably from just visibility and foot traffic, right?
Yeah.
And insurance. I think I've been getting a lot of people, you know, saying that they found me through the insurance lately. So
gotcha.
It's okay. About 20% of people who found me through insurance and also foot traffic, because people walk by and went, oh, there's a dentist right here.
Yeah.
You know, and they just walk right in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
And I wanted that. I wanted to be very visible.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. Right now, up to this day, you've been open for 5 months. What do you feel has been your biggest, like, pitfall or struggle?
Biggest pitfall or struggle. Oh my God. I think I had to let my dental assistant go, and I think that's my fault. I think it's my fault, because I hired her full time. I wasn't able to keep her busy. You know, she got restless. And it just didn't work out. So I had to let her go. So I think, you know, a little bit more, I could have spent a little bit more time vetting for a dental assistant.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then it was more in the sense of, like, how did you actually, how do you fire, or not fire, but let someone go? Like, how did you do it?
I just, honestly, we had the conversation. It didn't come as a surprise, right?
No.
You know, I will say this. If somebody gets fired and it's a surprise for them, I'd say that's a bad boss. That's a bad leader, right? You know, it wasn't a surprise. We've had a conversation a month prior to letting her go. You know, sat and had a conversation like, hey, you know, what's going on? Because I saw an attitude change. You know, she wasn't happy, she told me, you know, but I still kept her on because I just thought I needed a full-time dental assistant, even though I wasn't super busy every day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see a lot of patients, but when I do get patients, sometimes I'm doing a lot of procedures, like, you know, like a lot of stuff, like a full day on one patient sometimes, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, so, but there's some days when I don't have a patient, you know, and it's just hard to keep her busy. So, yeah, she just got disengaged and she started acting out. She was young, you know, so she was like, got real like a mood swing and attitude.
Yeah.
And went to like this team training event where, you know, I was expecting everybody to be exciting, and I hope that would have given her some motivation, but she was like, had a mood swing there, and she was like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
Like, so the Monday, I was like, hey, listen, it's not going to work out. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hey, this comes as no surprise, but I don't think it's going to work out. I'm like, yeah. But she was cool about it. She was cool about it. So
that's good.
You know,
man.
But she understood it was coming. So yeah. So now I have a part-time dental assistant, and I'm looking for either another part-time dental assistant or full-time dental assistant. I'm trying to see what my schedule is looking like. You know, after the 6-month mark. You know, when the recares start coming in, and when I talk to them about that treatment again. Like, you know, we talked about 6 months ago. I'm like, you know, So we'll see how that goes when it hits the 6-month mark. And we'll see if I need 1.5 dental assistants or 2 full time. We'll see.
Okay, I get it.
And I mean, I think I've learned a lot from, you know, I guess I didn't understand it initially, how to maneuver my practice and how I wanted to practice to actually have the help in which I needed to practice that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Initially, I needed a full-time dental assistant. Initially, I wanted a full-time hygienist from day one. But
wow.
That was a terrible idea. Right now... I don't make sense, but hey, that's how it goes. You know,
yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah, you're right.
But
you're
then
right.
You learn everything while you actually start executing.
So then what's been like the best piece of advice that you've received so far since you've opened?
Best piece of advice I received since I opened. Oh my goodness. I got a lot of good advice. Best advice. I would say, you know, just manage your expenses, I'd say, you know, manage your expenses, you know. Know your cost, right?
Mm.
Know your cost, because, you know, that's important, you know. Cash is important, you know, it's important. So, yeah, watch your supplies, you know, have a budget, you know, don't overspend. If it's a procedure that you do a lot of, and it's a procedure you like doing, and it's a procedure you're excited and patients see you're excited about, then yeah, you can spend the money and get the cone beam or the, you know, the scanner or the CEREC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a procedure you do a lot of and you can do it efficiently, then you're going to be able to pay for it.
That's true.
But if you're just doing it just because you want it, you know, you just want an easy way of doing it, then don't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the equipment has to, it's going to have to pay for itself.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
So, all right. I'd say watch your expenses. And like, buy what you really need. Buy what you really need and buy what you're going to use, right?
Yeah.
Don't just buy something and then it's just sitting in the corner getting dust. You got to use it, man. You got to find a way to use it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. That's 100% true.
Yeah. And to be honest, I learned a lot, you know, when, you know, 5 years of associateship, I learned a lot about my practice and the procedures that I wanted to do and what I was good at and how I could scale those procedures and do them in a timely manner, properly and well.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a good idea of, like, you know, clinically how I was going to practice. It was just actually trying to put that into practice while running a business too, you know?
That was a big
challenge, you know?
Okay. Got you.
Yeah, man.
So where can our listeners find you?
Listeners can find me on Instagram. I try to be active on Instagram. My personal Instagram is Dr. Cooper DMD. So Dr. and the period, Dr.Cooper.DMD. Also my office has a Facebook page. It's Rosewood Dental MD on Facebook as well. Sure. So, you know, I'm pretty active on those platforms.
Awesome. We're excited to see you, like, continue to grow and have you back on here after like about a year or so to see like what else you've learned and so forth. You know what I mean? and like the
results. Man, I'm sure I learned a ton. I'm sure I'm gonna learn a ton, man. A year from now. Oh my god.
A year from now, I'm just getting started, man.
I'm trying to learn as much as I can.
That's good, man. That's good. That's really good. So, alrighty, thank you so much, Damian, for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Michael, for having me. This is awesome, man.